All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to talk about being prepared, kind of some traveling issues, not necessarily traveling, but just issues that you can have. And we just want,
equipment.
Well, you know what? We go out on the water quite a bit, right? And with a boat, you're always going to have issues. And we want to share some of the things that we've had, some of the things how we've overcame some of them, and what you can do to prepare yourself so you don't have a shitty day.
It's all about being prepared. Yeah. About being prepared. And it is, you know, as we were talking about what to do for this. And
this doesn't sound like a fun one, but it's important.
Yeah, and it really is. And it is about traveling because we do a lot of traveling. And like you said, whether you travel 4 miles to get to your local boat ramp, or you're driving 400 or 800 to get to wherever you're going, something is going to go wrong.
You got to be prepared.
And who knows what it is, whether you blow a tire, whether you have a ground, which has happened to me, you have a ground come loose on your trailer, and all of a sudden your lights don't work and you can't mm-hmm. figure out why. Mm-hmm. Remember the tire in Michigan?
We had
a tire.
I mean, there's so many.
We threw a belt in the tire, the radial, and half of the tire went as
we blew a bearing a couple months ago.
Yep. Brad Mitch just blew a bearing. So let's talk about the bearing. I think that to me that always freaked me out the most. That was the scariest scenario to me, was blowing a bearing, having my trailer lock up, especially when I had a single axle trailer.
Yeah.
And you're on the side of the highway and you have forever to go till you get to the next spot.
What do you do?
Because I'll tell you what, I was like, there is no way in hell I'm leaving this boat on the side of the highway. That's not happening, right? But you have to, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you don't. So what did you guys do, and what do you do to combat that?
So I will tell you this. So it was probably, I'm just going to guess, 8-9 years ago. Me and Mitch were going to go fishing. I don't remember how it came, but Mitch went and picked up my boat, right? Because I was working or whatever it was, but he went and picked up the boat. He was pulling into his neighborhood. You were like 2 blocks away, and all of a sudden you saw sparks or something.
And I can't even remember what I saw.
He was like, oh, shit, dude. So he calls me. It's like 10 o'clock at night. He went and picked it up late. We're leaving at 5 in the morning to go. Right. I don't even remember where we're going.
Right. But it was a pull. You were going to do
a
pull.
Yeah, we were going to do a pull. So it's like, oh, God. So I come over at like 10 o'clock at night. It's like, oh, man, we blew a bearing. And I'm like, I went back to my garage because I thought I had bearings. They were the wrong size. I bought the wrong size. So I was pissed. But anyway.
How much do bearings cost? If you were to grab an extra set, how much do they cost? And is it
just the bearings? Yeah. $12?
Yeah, I was going to say 15, but yeah. Not much.
Okay, so something that is very affordable and something. And and what is it like to store them? Are they huge? Are they small?
Nah, they're teeny.
Smaller than a tape measure.
Okay. Yes.
So perfect. Not hard to store. Something you could throw behind the seat of your truck.
Yep. So anyway, to get to that scenario, it'll be real quick. We have like a Napa Auto Parts, something like that. That's a couple miles away. They opened up at 6 or 7 in the morning. Yep. We went there, got the bearings, put it on. We wanted to leave at 5. We left at 7:30. No big deal. We changed out. We've done it before. We know how to do it. We were just 2.5 hours late. We still went fishing. Yep. But so here's the deal. Because of that experience, what I want to share with the listeners is I bought 2 sets of bearings mm-hmm. that day. Mm-hmm. And I put them up front. I have in the front of my boat, I have a big storage thing to where I carry jumper cables, grease gun, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Tools, extra. Yeah. I got extra running lights.
I was just going to say, he's got extra lights.
Yeah.
Running lights. Like the set that you put on your car. Yeah.
The car you're pulling.
Yeah.
Dude, because
what a brilliant idea.
Right. They're like $25 bucks. I've never had to use them, but I guarantee if I'm out pulling somewhere, I have them, plug them in. I can stick them on the side of my trailer.
Keep going.
And I can keep fishing. Yep. I'm going fishing. Yep. I'll figure that other stuff out
and
later.
And that's funny. That's the interesting part about the way you do it and the way I do it, is you keep all of that on your boat. I would never keep that on my boat. I would keep it in my truck.
Yeah, but what if for us, sometimes we use Brad's truck, sometimes we use my truck.
Yes,
yeah,
that's so, it.
Yeah. But I mean, that's my point. It's like I would be more conscious of the weight in the boat and the speed and all that other stuff. And that is not as big a deal to you. You have that all on your boat, which
Yeah, I mean, it's probably got like 10 pounds, 15 pounds.
Set of bearings the size of a tape measure.
Well, all the crap I got.
I'm just saying, like what you're stuff. Explaining, jumper yeah. cables, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, 10 or 15 pounds is a lot of weight. I mean, I was to the point where I was moving jig heads over to the other side of the kicker, other side of the boat, away from
just
the kicker.
Just to try to even it out.
Just to try to even it out.
Well, so anyway, so what came, we were in a tournament, or we were running a tournament here probably a month and a half, two months ago. I don't even remember. But sure enough, we're pulling back from the lake. Boom, blew a bearing and pulled in the parking lot, jacked it up, changed the bearing out. I mean, there was other issues, but we ended up getting the bearing changed out, and things were fine. We were able to go run the series, run the tournament. No one, it went out without a hitch, no big deal. Yep. But because I had that issue before, don't you have that issue?
Right.
You can have that. Whether you store it in your truck, your boat, whatever.
Right.
You can have a trailer box that when in the front of your trailer, you have stuff.
Right.
But it really gets you thinking about checking your stuff or being prepared. It was 2 weeks ago. Last week, I went out with my wife. The week before, I learned a valuable lesson. I store my boat. I don't have it at my house like you do, Josh. Mm-hmm. So I went out to my boat. The storage unit is 2 miles from my house, and then I pull straight 2 more miles, and I'm at the lake. I mean, it's super convenient. I mean, that's just what I do all the time. I can pick it up, go to the lake, at the end, drop it off, come back. Mm-hmm. Unless I need to charge up if you really use my trolling motor. Well, I get out to the lake. I mean, I get out the storage unit, hook it up, drive out to the lake. We're up in the staging area getting all the stuff. Go to raise my motor to take off my transom saver. Nah, nothing.
Nothing.
I'm like, what the hell? I have an emergency shutoff. It's just so you don't drain power. My mistake is, and I must have been in a hurry the last time I went out the Friday before because I didn't turn it off.
Your master power.
Master power. So it shuts everything down. And I go, oh, I didn't jump up, turn it on. I went to go jump up to turn it on. I'm like, uh-oh, it's already on. That's not good. I mean, it's already, you know, so all of my electronics work. So I have jumper cables. Mm-hmm. So I put them on my trolling batteries, which were about 50%. Mm-hmm. You know, I run a 24-volt system, so I had to take that apart. Well, it's like 525 cranking amps. My boat motor requires 650. I was like, well, is it going to work? It was not enough to turn it over to start it. I was like, and that thing starts, like, look, you've been in a
minute.
You touch it and it starts. So I was like, God.
That's saying something for a Merc.
So I was pissed. You know, first of all, I can't go fishing. You know, I mean, I was ready to go.
Pissed.
So I have to pull it back to the house. Pull it back to the house. Here's another thing, another issue that you have, and I want to make sure guys know this. I hook it up to my onboard charger, and I put it on, come check it a couple hours later, go to turn the engine on, just see if I have enough. It's deader than a doornail. Well, the problem is when you have an onboarding charging system, and it's 3-bank, 4-bank, 5-bank, whatever that is, if your battery is dead enough that it won't recognize that there's even a battery there, so it charged my trolling batteries, no problem.
Yeah.
But it didn't even see my cranking battery.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, what do I do now? I unhooked it. I went and got just a standard charger that you plug in the wall. Put that on. It wasn't showing a battery. It was so dead it didn't even show that. And I was like, oh, my God, did I ruin the battery? Well, because kind of anal about this, I have a trickle charger that doesn't require –
one that you hook up. And
It's 1.5, and it just takes forever to charge, but they're maintainers. So I put that on and let it go overnight, went out there, hooked up my onboard charger, and sure enough, there was enough. It recognized it, charged my boat up, but that's all it was. Yeah. What I'm talking about is being prepared. What had happened is when I stepped out of the front of my boat the last time of the week before when I was out, I have my front live well has a switch. So I can either raise my engine at the very front, there's a toggle switch, or I can turn on my live well. Well, I hit the live. I must have kicked it with my foot or something. Something happened to turn that front live well. I didn't notice it, and it just ran. That's why my battery drained all
right.
It's just being prepared. Things like that. Right. I could have easily avoided that if I would have taken the 15 seconds to do what I typically do and go up there and turn the main switch off.
Yes.
Right. But I didn't.
Yep. Right.
I mean, and our boats didn't come with these main switches. We had them put in.
Yeah,
because a lot
over
of
years we've had issues.
Yeah, with your electronics, there's a lot of time there's a real light draw.
Well, and your tilt trim on your motor draws all the time if you don't have a master.
Well, see, there you go. And what will happen is if it's in storage for too long, your battery's dead.
Yep.
So you can't just go hook up to it and go. So, yeah, I love them. It's awesome. but don't forget to turn it off.
And that's the other difference between the three of us, too, is I am way super anal about the batteries. I would, even if I stored it someplace, I would never go hook it up unless I had charged batteries within a day or so. I would never just go hook it on and go.
And trust that it's still charged?
No, not a million years. I will.
I've done it 100 times.
Right. I'm just saying, I wouldn't do, I would not trust that. I always charge, even if I had, let's say it's a Saturday and I think I'm going to go fishing Sunday morning. I hook up my batteries. I charge them all the way.
But your house.
I know, but let's say it was at storage. I hook it up and it's charged, right? Or I pull it over to my house. I charge. For some reason, I don't go on Sunday, right? Master switches off. Everything's good. I take it back and dump it back in storage. Let's say Thursday rolls around and I'm like, oh, let's go on Thursday, right? I'm off on Thursday, whatever. I would not trust that it was still charged from that Saturday. I would bring it back and I would charge it. Or at my house, I would plug it back in overnight.
So what I've done, and I showed you this too, is I have those solar trickle chargers. So if I know, hey, I'm not going for a few weeks, I throw that. I got a solar one. Mm-hmm. And it's 1.5. It's not putting out a lot of juice. But it sits right on the back of my I have a step that you can get in for, like, if you want to swim and get out of the boat. Yep. I set it right there. It gets the sun for half the time. I clip it on. Right. Trying to have the main power off in it. It's a maintainer. It keeps it nice and charged because I never know when I'm going to go. Right. It's usually one of those things. Hey, you want to go? Yeah, let's go.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I used to be exactly like you, Joss. Uh-huh. Even with my old boat sitting in my garage, even when I had it at my house, because mine's in storage now too. But as soon as I got that master switch, I have given it up. If I've got charge when I put it away and I turn it off, I'm confident. Yeah. I don't think about it, but I 100% used to be like that without that master.
Yeah. And of course I've got on the, you know, the Rangers come with, actually it's a couple different, it's a master switch and then
yes,
it's
you got two.
Yeah. And so I am confident, but I just, to me, that is one of those avoidable things. And if I look at it always, if I can do everything I can for those small avoidable things,
it's true.
It's going to be easy.
Oh, I'm not saying what I'm doing is right.
Right.
But I'm just saying that's what I do.
But that's a good example. Could have.
It is. It 100%. Really,
because if you don't have that battery power and you drive to the lake or drive an hour and a half to Pueblo.
Right.
And bam, well, it wrecks your day.
Yep. So the thing is anytime we're pulling, I mean, this is a 4-mile trip.
Right.
Anytime we are like going to really pull outside of Cherry Creek or Chatfield. Cherry Creek's like 14, 12 miles, 10 miles, whatever.
Right.
Anytime we're pulling that, I go get it the night before, hook it all up, charge it. Mean, that's just it's just typical because that's a planned event.
Right.
I would say probably 80% of my fishing that I do is not planned. It's that day. Hey, do you want to go? It's usually I typically go out with Linda, and it's when she can get off because I have Fridays off when she can get off work early because she, you know, when she's done, whether that's 1 or 4, and we don't go every Fridays. I mean, we go once or twice a month on Fridays, right? So it's like, hey, if you can get off early, let's go fishing. She's like, okay. She wants a sun, read her book, and she'll fish a little bit. She loves it.
White Claw, 100%.
White Claw 30.
See, so it's like, I don't plan on that.
We've thoroughly talked about this recently.
So I don't plan it like that. But there's things that you can do better. I could do that better.
Right.
And even if, if I don't turn my master switch off, if I don't have that, it is nothing. Harbor Freight is where I bought those solar chargers. $15.
Yeah.
It's nothing. I carry that in the back of my truck. I went up, I snap it on. I didn't do any of those. I got lazy. But those are things that are avoidable, whether or not you're able to have it at your house or you know you're going the next day, you plan it. But if I would have taken the time to turn my master switch off or put that solar power on, I would have no issue. I wouldn't even be talking about this right now.
Right.
But it's things like that. The bearings having spares.
Yep.
The jumper cables. Well, usually, it'll usually work. I mean, we've done it before with other boats.
Yeah, but I'm scared of getting out there and it doesn't start again. And now you're or didn't charge while you're out running or, that's why a lot of these guys are going to 15 horsepower kickers.
Yes.
Is because the 15s charge, if you're going to troll, they charge your battery. The 9.9s usually don't. So
they have a stator and the 9.9s don't.
Yeah. And so that is the biggest thing recently is a lot of these boats are really going to that so they can charge because a lot of guys run their kickers and if they have any battery issues or whatever,
makes sense, stuff like that,
Great Lakes stuff.
You know what I thought when I was out at the lake and it wouldn't do anything? I'm sitting there going, damn it, tried the trolling motor, didn't work. I'm like,
pull start the 8.
Well, I could have done that, yeah. Right? And I actually thought about that, but I'm like, ah, this is an easy fix. I'll take it out of my truck. Well, how the hell am I going to chart my truck? That lasted all of about 15 seconds. Yeah. I'm like, no, okay, that's like, yeah. I'll pull that battery out of my truck, start that baby up. And how am I going to back my truck down?
So I've got one that I want people to kind of check out because of my experience. Uh-huh. And it was something that I would never have expected, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a few years ago. I can't remember, early spring, one of the first trips to the lake. I go drop my boat in. I go jump in it and pull it off the trailer as by myself. And all of a sudden, one of my buckboards goes floating off, like right with the boat. I'm like, oh no, what's going on? And off it goes. And I'm like, oh no.
Now that's not good. That's going to be hard to load.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to load. It's not going to be good to my boat, right? And I was like, oh no. So I jumped in my boat, went over and got it, brought in. Well, I had a bunch of this twine in my truck. Mm-hmm. So it worked out great. I was able to tie it back on. It was all rotted. Those eye bolts were all rotted out. The wood, you know, my boat was a 2002. It was maybe, you know, 13, 14 years old, whatever. And, it, you know, it just rotted out. Well, that's going to happen to every boat. I'm telling you, especially.
What did I do to mine?
we
replaced them.
Yes. Just before it even needed it, just to stay ahead of it. Mm-hmm. So what I did, you know, I tied it on, so I was able to load my boat when I was done fishing. But I knew
the next time. You still went fishing, though.
Yeah, oh, I still went fishing.
Yeah, you're going to have that issue no matter what.
He might as well go fishing.
I caught all walleyes, no trout.
Yeah. That's good.
Which is cool.
It's always a bonus.
Yeah, it's always a bonus.
But then I knew, okay, the next time I go, I'm going to replace this. So I did. I was ahead of it. I took my measurements. It was 2x6s. I got treated. I put the carpet on them. I had the right length. They were just ready to go. So the next time I went fishing, sure enough, I just tied my boat up, went back to my trailer, switched it out. It literally took me, you know, 10, 15 minutes to switch both of them, and boom, I'm good to go. But here's the moral to the story. It's something when you unload your boat, you know, just occasionally grab them, grab the front, grab the back, you know, just make sure they're still solid, you know, give them a good inspection, whatever. But because it's not hard to switch them, it's just something I think people overlook until the day that it goes floating off with your
trailer.
And if I wouldn't have had rope, I mean, no one else was around. No one else was fishing. I don't know. You know, I would have had to probably leave my stuff there.
No, you would have called me and I would have ran out there with some rope.
But it did. It saved the day. But it'll never happen to me again because now I pay attention to it.
Well, and the part I want to cover is...
you had a windshield come off.
Well, I had a... we had the windshield come off in Michigan, but the... also, one of them got broken. The middle piece got
broken. Had a windshield. If you haven't had a windshield come off, you're not fishing.
No joke. No joke, right?
It's not that bad out. Go fishing faster.
But I've had, I guess the most important piece to me is not so much with the, since I got the Ranger, have I carried as much stuff as I did. And I had an aluminum Ranger before, but the trailer was more of your traditional
single axle,
the tail lights were those tail lights where you pop them out of the rubber boot and you just kind of you disconnect them and you use the waterproof heat seal connectors and put new ones on. So I always carried an extra set of tail lights.
I carry that. Yeah,
just the lights.
All that stuff. Yeah. And so with the Ranger, I don't, because it's a
LED.
And it's more expensive and it's, but I always carried what I called my goodie bag, right? I threw it behind the seat in the truck, whatever. But I carried that. Brad's turned me onto this. You guys turned me onto this. The Teflon tape. Mm-hmm. I carry a spool of the Teflon tape for all the screws that start popping out. They pop out. You put a little Teflon tape on there. You screw them back in. It seems to hold them a ton better than if you don't.
Better.
So I carry a Teflon tape. I would carry. I carry all the stuff to be able to. If for some reason wires just mysteriously break or fall off or come loose, I carry connectors to be able to,
it's all smart stuff to have.
I have the same gauge wire. So all, I can patch,
a bag of fuses,
whatever. But it's about $50, if that, worth of goodies to fix mostly the trailer. And then, if anything else happens on the boat that's electronic or electrical, that's a different story, right? Bigger gauge wire, stuff like that.
Yeah, you're talking general stuff.
General maintenance stuff between the, for the trailer mostly.
Yeah.
Because if I can get the boat somewhere, if the trailer works, I can get the boat somewhere, then I'm better off, right?
Yes.
So that's the big thing. But tools. And I know a lot of us are outdoorsmen kind of people, hunters, fishermen, whatever, but I am always shocked at how many people do not carry tools or the right kind of tools. Mm-hmm. And I carry a ton of tools in my truck just for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Chev.
Well, yeah. but, you know, a socket set that is going to be metric and standard. I carry a set of wrenches, metric and standard. You know, that doesn't take up much room, and it's not very expensive. I mean, you can go get some off-brand.
It doesn't
throw it
matter,
in your truck,
dude.
And who cares, yep. right? You like yep. you're saying Harbor Freight or Home Depot. Go get a set of Huskies for you know $50, mm-hmm. and you've got a whole set of wrenches and everything else. You know, the screwdrivers. I've got all different lengths of screwdrivers, different sizes, because they all take goofy stuff. You go to change out a prop; it's a giant screwdriver, right? Yep. But I have that. I may use it once a year. I may use it once every 5 years. But they ride in my truck all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have the right tool, you know, channel locks, stuff like that.
Small grease gun to repack your bearings, whatever it is.
Yes, yes. Is a great example of you throw it in the back, you cover it up with a plastic bag so it doesn't get your seat greasy or whatever.
Well, mine's on the front, but all of it's up front. Right. I mean, it's just a habit.
It's just to have it just in case. But if you're going to do any sort of traveling, any sort of pull, where it's not the 4 or 10 mile pull, you have to do that, right? You have to do, like you said, Mitch, you check the boards, you check the tire, you check. Recently, my crank wheel in the front, right? That cranks up the tongue. Broke. Just broke.
Sure did.
Yeah, remember? Yep. And so I carried with me jack stands and a freaking floor jack all the way to my tournament. But
you had to.
If something happened and I had to get that trailer off the truck, I had to have that in the jack stand, which by the way still isn't fixed because we can't get the part. I didn't have an option. Mm-hmm. So now it is in my garage sitting on two jack stands because I still haven't been able to get the part to get it fixed. But that's a great example of, you know, you guys came over that morning and I was like, hey boys, I got a problem. My jack stand just broke and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So we used
your
wood
jack
blocks
wheel.
and all kinds of stuff, and we put it. Finally, we got it up and got it hooked up to the truck.
Because we're going fishing.
Yeah, we were going. I mean, it's like we're going.
We'll figure out how to get it off your truck when we get back
it off. We had no idea what we were going to do to get it off, but we definitely got it on. So we left it hooked up the whole weekend. But that's just another good example of you have that stuff, right?
There's so many things you have that you can foresee. I mean, just have them. Like you said, a $50 bag of parts, the extra, you know, again, Harbor Freight, because it's inexpensive stuff. I'm not buying it because I want to use it all the time. Right. I'm buying it if I need it.
In a pinch.
Emergency. So like those lights that are the magnet ones, I mean, that's a 4-pin one, and you could get an adapter if you need one of those.
For a pigtail.
Yeah, right. You could get that adapter. I would have that, but I have either one on my truck, so I use the 4-pin. But it was like $24 to have a spare set of lights. Now, I've had them for 5 or 6 years. I've never used them, but
they're still in the package.
Yeah.
But there they are.
Yep. Yeah. You never know.
I didn't know we've had them in there this whole time. Yep. And all of a sudden, there they were. I was like, dude, what's this?
Yep.
I was like, that's brilliant.
Yep.
For $20.
Sure.
Because we've all had our lights crap on us.
Well,
right?
Yeah. Well, you talk about the adapter, right? So mm-hmm. the from the 4-pin or whatever it
the
is to the big one. You know, I needed that because my first boat was a 4-pin, and I had the big
round pigtail ones.
And so I needed the adapter. Well, since I switched boats, I haven't needed it. But I still carry it in the map pouch of my door.
Yeah, why wouldn't
because
you? You have it. I've seen it in there.
Yeah, at some point, I'm going to need to adapt it one way or the other.
Yep. And do you know what else is going to happen?
Huh.
Your buddy's going to be like, man, if I just had a picture,
exactly.
Hey, guess what I've got?
Look what I've got in the door.
Well, it was exactly right. I care, and we'll wrap this up here in a second, but
it's funny. We could keep going. I've got like three
more.
Oh,
I know.
I know, but there's so many things. Just be prepared. You know, I mean, think about the little things that are going to keep you from going.
Yep.
Whether that's the charge battery, whether it's turning off your master switch. If you don't have a master power switch, that is crucial.
It is
to have.
And
I mean, for years I didn't have it, but I had more issues.
I didn't even know about it until we saw it on yours, and then you got it.
Oh, it's.
I want one of those. Yeah.
And the only time I've had it fail on me is my failure because I didn't flip it. And I flip it all the time. I don't even know how I didn't, but that's the one time that I hit my bilge, or not my bilge, my aerator for my front. Really? The one time I don't turn it off.
Right. You messed up twice. When does that happen?
I did.
Right. My thing with this is, you know, we can all read stuff on the internet and talk to our buddies and stuff, and they'll tell you, like, oh, yeah, better carry an extra set of bearings and all the tools you need, the grease, everything, just in case, right? But I promise you, most of us are like, yeah, that's overkill. They'll be fine until it happens.
That's right.
And then you will have it in your boat or your truck, and you'll be ready to go the next time.
Yep.
And all these things that we've talked about, it's because it's happened to us.
Yes.
And guess what? It won't happen to us again.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one other thing, right? Let's go with the bearings. YouTube how to do the bearings, because it's not hard, but do it before you get out there. Because chances are, when it goes out, you're not going to have service on your phone to be able to look at it real quick on the side of the road.
If you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, if you've never done it.
That's what we did. Yep. We're sitting there, and we couldn't get that one bearing to go on. And I'm looking at it, and I go into my room to YouTube it, because that's where we had service. And I'm like, nah, something's not right with this. And it ended up being the wrong size bearing. But we were, you know, if we didn't have that service, we'd still be out there trying to pound that center back in.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. Hey, but just be prepared. Think about the little things. Just do a walk around. Think about what you can do to make it more successful.
Every time you stop and get gas, do a walk
around. Just do a walk around.
Every time.
It takes a minute. And I know it sounds like, oh, whatever, guys. But I'm serious. It's happened to us, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to.
Just about
everything. All we want you to do is get out there on the water.
Yeah, and have fun. So don't do it, and then you'll just burn a couple days here.
And then you're that guy. You're that guy on the ramp where you're going, look at this dude.
Yeah.
He's trying to pull his battery out of his truck. What the hell?
Yeah, and then do you have an extra pigtail? No, I don't.
No, I don't.
You should have brought one.
Well, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, we're going to wrap it up. We do appreciate you guys listening to us. Make sure you're sending us your questions and stuff to alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. A lot of the stuff that we end up talking about comes from the listeners.
And subscribe to the next level.
Yes. It's
for the cost of a dozen crawlers.
For the cost
of a
dozen crawlers.
A dozen and a half.
Yep. We are.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
18. Getting to the point now where we have, I don't know how many different ones, but we probably have.
We have 90 different podcasts out there.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
How many of them are next level? Probably 15 of them, maybe more.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The next level.
140 hours of podcasts.
Yep. Yeah. So the next level is an hour long where we really go in depth. We really talk about a lot of your stuff. So check us out. We do appreciate it. Share us. Let your friends know. Thanks a lot.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.